accession number 17570, Reel 1.
Mr. Klishevich, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Poland, in Loshniów. It was near town of Trembowla. It is eastern Poland. In January 1919.
Did you grow up in the place of your birth and have your education there?
No, because my mother was a teacher, and I lost my father in 1920 when I was only 15 months old. So my mother married, and my stepfather was in police. So from time to time they were moving from one place to another. So I finished my grammar school at Chortkov in 1937. The same year I enlist Lviv University as as history student. I stayed at university, it was Jana Kazimierza University, till the war. When Russians came, they changed the name to Ivan Franko. It was Ukrainian writer. And I stayed at that university till May 1941.
Do you remember the day that the Germans attacked Poland? And what happened to you?
Yes, it was on the 1st of September 1939.
What happened
I was at home in that time. I just returned from holidays from Vilno. It is on the north of Poland. Today it is Lithuania. We were not surprised because we were expecting that something happened. That on 1st of September started, Germans started bombing and so on.
What did you do personally at first?
Nothing, because what can I do? You see, I was a young man, student. So we were waiting. We were helping about small helps, you see, during the night when we were watching if any planes are coming and so on. You see, we will make sure that there are no lights in the windows. You see that people are not leaving open light windows and so on. That was what we were doing, and we were waiting. That's so.
Can you describe what happened when the Soviets first intervened in your area?
Yes, it was Sunday, 17th of September. About 9 o'clock in the morning, someone let us know that Russians are coming. We were surprised, because there was agreement between Poland and Russia. You see, the same as we had with England. You see, but they attacked us. And a few hours later, first tanks entered the city. And they were driving all day. And my mind was, oh God, who is going to stop them? We never had a lot of tanks in Poland before the war. And there were thousands of those tanks going through the city.
What did the Soviet forces look like?
Well, normally there is nothing special that you can see, because they were just driving through.
This is
later on, after a few days, we notice that they are rather not very good equipped, that they were looking everywhere. They were surprised that we had everything in the shops, that I can buy everything, you see, especially watches. They were buying, you see, how many watches you can sell them, they all would buy, you see, and so other things. Well, I can't say they were not friendly or that they were not doing anything to the people, you see, because no one was fighting against them.
This is in Lvov?
No, that was in Chortkov. And at the beginning of October, I went back to Lvov, because in October university year was starting. My father, my stepfather, left Poland to Romania and then to Palestine, and was later in the Polish army in Palestine. Now I was studying. I had different name because I said my mother married. So no one knew me in Lvov. They thought that I'm that I have no parents. You see, alone. So Russians gave me Russian, that were Ukrainians who were in power theoretically. I have a grant, a university grant as well, but it was very small, and because of that I was forced to go back to buy something in Lvov, you see, special, all kind of materials, and then go to Chortkov or to one of the villages and sell them and buy meat specially, you see, because we were completely short of meat in Lvov in that time. And thanks to that, I could earn extra cash, you see. My mother stopped teaching because she said she will never teach under Russians, you see. And the result of that was that in April 1940, she, my sister, younger sister, and the youngest was my brother, were taken to Siberia. I was left in Lvov, Iran.
Did the Soviet takeover of the education system have much effect, as far as you could see?
Now, I don't think there was much. In that time, they did changes in primary schools and in grammar schools. So, say, there were changes about as far as history, but again, not much, because they didn't have any history books in the Soviets. As far as university, most of these university teachers, professors, were imprisoned. Those who were left and were high positions before, say, Dons and others, they were made ordinary lectures, you see. And teachers from grammar schools, Ukrainians, were made professors over them. And that happened in our history department. I was very good times with my professor. It was Professor Modelsky. And every day in I visit him in his study, And he said, listen, what kind of professor is this? His boss. He's asking me to write lecture for him. You see. During the second year, I already passed my examination, history, medieval history examinations. You see, but I had to do that again on the third year. When you see, Russian said, "Oh, that it doesn't matter. You have to do that again." So, professor was, as I said, teacher from grammar school, and he didn't know. He knew as much about history of Ukraine as I did. You see, so we have the same questions. You see, you have the same answers. So it was easy to pass. So. But what happened? You see, when we had in primary school, we started to learn Ukrainian from the second year. You see. And we had all the time till matriculation. Right? You see, I was in the old system, education system. So we had 4 years primary school and 8 years grammar school. So all the time I was learning Ukrainian. Then I was 2 years at the university. I hardly used Ukrainian in that time, but I still spoke very well. And when I came the first time, they started to teach Ukrainian and Russian at university. Everyone had to learn Ukrainian and Russian because a lot of students came from the west of Poland. And they learned German, but not Ukrainian because they were near German. Of course, I learned German as well in grammar school. So everyone had to go to Ukrainian lessons. I didn't went to the first lesson. I went to the second one. I don't know, but I don't remember why. And that Ukrainian professor asked me why I was I missed first lesson. And I said because I went, you see, Polish, Ukrainian, there are Slavian, Slav languages. Some words are very similar. And there are different endings sometimes, you see. Instead I say, I boo him. Because I bill him in Poland, Polish. I say, I boo him. When I said that, he said, what are you talking? What kind of Ukrainian it is? Hendrik Sienkiewicz wrote Ognem I Mieczem. He did a lot of wrong for Ukraine. Now you are starting to change our language. And he started to shout. And so on and so on. I said, okay. I did worry about it because I knew that I knew Ukrainian very well. Everyone can make mistakes, you see. And then, in the end of the third year, we had exams. There were those important exams, history exams. You see, you had to pass them, and there were. Extras, there was Ukrainian, Russian, and there was something else, you see. Don't remember now. Not less important. When I came to the Russian teacher, he said, well, you don't know well Ukrainian. You have to come again after the holidays. You see? I said, okay. Then I went to Russian professor. And I didn't learn Russian. I tell you why. Because my father was working in the bank. But during the war, he was from Grodno, it is Lithuania now. He was called to the army. And that part of Poland was under Russian occupation. So he was in the Russian army as captain. During the war, when the Russians, his regiment was on the south of Poland, he met my mother. Then there was a Russian revolution. He left the army, was, and then married. And after the war, 1918, he went, took wife and went back to Grodno. In 1920, there was communists invaded Poland, because they were going not only to Poland, they were going to the West, to occupy all the West. And when they came to Grodno, they arrested all officers, all SARS officers, you see, those who were during the war in the SAR army. And then they called some soldiers and asked them, tell us which of those officers was not good, and so on. What can you say? Of course, people are not so bad that they will say anything wrong about others, you see. They know what that means. So say, oh, all were good. Okay, then under the wall, and then this one, that one, out, and they shoot some of them, those officers.
Chosen and that arbitrarily.
Yes, and that did that twice. And because my my father was so shocked and afraid that he had caught
TB?
TB. But at a special, you see, the very quick TB. And he died. And my mother said, I hate communists. I will never work for them. That was the reason that she stopped working when they came in 1999. And she always told me, was telling me about it. Remember that, what kind of people they are. So when they came, I said, I will not learn Russian, because I am optimistic. I always believe that something will change. You see, so the first at the university that during that first year I didn't learn Russian, and then I came after those exams. You see, I went to collect my grant, and I was told, sorry, you didn't pass Ukrainian and Russian. So we can give you grant. So I said, what do I have to do? I knew what I have to do as far as Ukrainian. So I started to look after that professor, and I found him in the corridor. There was a lot of students around, was walking. I called him and came to him. I said, listen, I can't get my grant because I didn't pass Ukrainian. I need your signature. Oh, I can't give you. You can't speak Ukrainian. You come after them. I said, you sign me the pass. No, I can't do it. I said, you're Ukrainian nationalist. I know who are you. You see, you are. And so students started to say, what is going? You see, professor, student is shouting to professor. I said, quiet, quiet. I said, no. Sign me or I am going to see rector. So he signed. You see, okay, I have one signature. What to do with Russian? But my Don, that was young Russian Don, Ukrainian, from Kyiv, he was very nice man. He, you see, sometimes when I was absent, we had in our year there was about 26 students. Three Ukrainians, there were two girls, one boy, three Poles, two girls and I, one Jew from Chortkov, who knew me, but was always quiet, never thought anything about me, and all others were Jews from west of Poland, who escaped, you see. And of course, nearly all of them joined the Komsomol party, you see, and they were working with communists. So one day, the Don asked me to come to see him. I came to him and he said, listen, I have to warn you that some of you are coming to me and telling that you are not, you are missing lessons. And Ukrainian, who is that boy, who is in charge, who is making notes, who is in or out, he is always saying that you are in. I warn you, be careful with them. You come in the morning when he is making notes, and then go. You were during the lessons, you went to somewhere else, you see, to other lesson. So, okay. So I say, I go to him. I went to him and I said, listen, I can get my grant because I have no signature from a Russian teacher. I then go to him and tell him that I said to sign it. Okay. So I went to that Ukrainian professor, I said, Russian professor, I said, listen, Don told you to sign that I pass. Ah, Don said, okay, so okay, and he signed. That one of my stories.
So you got the grant?
So I got the grant, yes. But during next year, 1941, as I already said, in April, my mother, brother and sister were sent to Siberia. Now, in just before Easter, all 1941. Because they were sent to Siberia in 1940, in April.
Yes.
And I was staying in Lviv all the time. And then just before the Easter, 1941, all fourth year were called to rector. And he said, well, in a few weeks' time, you will pass your final exams. And of course, you have to start your work. So I'm giving you places where you will work. I tell you the places where you're going to work. And then he told us part of Poland was known as Wolyń. Small villages. 50 kilometers sometimes from the railway station, you see. Small schools, and he was sending us there.
You didn't have any free choice.
I said, listen, I didn't need to go to university to learn, to teach in primary school somewhere. I am grammar school teacher, yes? So I said, no, I won't take final exams. That was one thing. And another, that if I don't take exams, I have to repeat the year. And a fourth-year student, I won't go to the army, you see. But in the beginning of May, it was during the first week, at the beginning of May, I received the papers that I have to join the army. I didn't know what to do. You see, I already had false papers. So I could say, well, I disappeared. I am someone else now. But sometimes you are doing, you see, things that normally when you think about it, you say, well, why did you do that? This is not normal thing, not very clever. We had the departure to the army was on 8th of May. Late afternoon on the 7th of May, I went to the army recruiting office. There was a captain inside. He was in charge. I said, I won't speak to him. Okay. So I said, listen, tomorrow I'm supposed to go to the Red Army. But do you know who am I? My mother, sister, and brother are in Siberia. My stepfather is in the Polish army in Palestine, and I must go, I want to I have to go to the Red Army. He was listening for a while and then said, son, well, would you like to help your mother, brother, and sister? Of course, I would like to help them. So, my advice is that tomorrow you go to the army. And when you come to your regiment, you try to be, from the first day, try to be the best. And after 6-8 weeks, write straight to Stalin and tell him that you are very good soldier, and you like to ask him to send you, your family, back to the place of origin where they came from. Perhaps he will help you. If not, the difference is that instead sent you to jail straight away, they will arrest you a few weeks later because you are refusing to serve to be in the Red Army. That is normal thing, same in everything, other countries. I didn't hear what did you say to me. God bless you.